Hello, can you hear me? Yes. So thank you for coming. My name is Ricardo Tomates. I'm with the SA Film Festival. So this is the fourth day of the festival. Still plenty of things to happen in the rest of the week. And this is the first of our five screening survey of the most important or the most significant works of Kidlat Tahemik. We start with Perfume Nightmare. There will be several other screenings tomorrow at the Goethe Institute. I encourage you to go. It's the sort of a rare screening of a sequel of sorts, also of Perfume Nightmare, which will happen at the Goethe Institute. Then we have a screening here at the ICA on Tuesday of Why Is Yellow the Middle of the Rainbow, which is one of his really remarkable essay film of Kidlat. It started in 1982 and finished in 1994. And then on Wednesday, Kidlat will be with us tomorrow. He will spend a week here, so there will be several opportunities to discuss and talk and meet him. On Wednesday, there will be a day event at Birkbeck, at Birkbeck Cinema at Gordon Square. The event we called Straying on Track, about Kidlat's work. And on Thursday, the closing of the festival, will be the premiere of Kidlat's last film, also a film that he worked and assembled during a period of 30 years almost, called Balik Bayan, number one, Memories of Overdevelopment Redux. So I encourage you to come. There's a few people, very quickly, and institutions we need to thank for helping us putting together the Kidlat program. I would like to thank the Goethe Institute in London, the Arsenal in Berlin, who is and Tobias Ehring, who is curating, as we speak now, where you can check the program, a wonderful, very comprehensive retrospective of Kidlat in Berlin. And I would also like to thank, and I need to remember all the names because I forget, I'm sorry, very quickly. Actually, David Leister and Lorin Federlein, which will project in Screen the Film. We have the projectors here today because we're screening a rare print of the film, and this was the best setup for this particular screening. And now, Nikolaus, I would like to introduce and thank Nikolaus Pernetsky for being here with us tonight to do a short, brief introduction of the film. And Nikolaus is a writer, he's a curator, a researcher, and is actually currently undertaking comparative research on the uses of film in countries newly emergent from colonial rule, which is a part of his PhD project at Goldsmith, and also being enthusiast of Kidlat's work, and I'm very happy to have you. So thank you very much, and Nikolaus, please. On.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I think it's safe to say we're all in for a real treat tonight. Perfume Nightmare is independent Filipino filmmaker Kidlat Tahemik's first feature film. It premiered at the Berlin Forum in 1977 and became an instant classic of decolonial cinema. While working on it, Tahemik still went by his given name, Eric De Gea. And before he took up filmmaking, De Gea had been working as an economist for the OECD in Paris for several years in the 1960s. The way he tells it, it was in the process of making Perfume Nightmare that he became Kidlat Tahemik. When the film was finished and had to be signed, he decided on the spur of the moment to take on the name of the film's protagonist, the intrepid jeepney driver, Kidlat, who is also played by the director. So if some of you take the opportunity offered by the SA Film Festival in the next few days to look back at this really unique body of work that Tahemik has made in the almost 40 years since Perfume Nightmare, take note, this is where it all began. So from the very beginning, Tahemik has been making films in an artisanal mode with minimal crew equipment and funds. He calls his mode of production two cups of gas filmmaking. So as the name suggests, this is a method that revolves around small quantities of energy, and so doesn't really allow for long-term goal-oriented planning. Two cups of gas filmmaking is not just a different way of doing things, it's also, and crucially, a different way of being in the world, open to, as Kitlat calls it, cosmic suggestions and interferences. And that's exactly what Tahimik wants filmmaking to be, a porous and open-ended practice that lets in the surrounding world, a practice that registers its enabling and disabling conditions, the good as well as the bad forces that act on it. So it's not all happy accidents, but also things that fail to come together, things that fall apart. A letter from Francis Ford Coppola with an offer for financial support gets lost in the mail and never reaches its destination. An aggressive mold that thrives in the humid and hot climate of the Philippines attacks the developed film stock. A planned screening at Anthology Film Archives in New York has to be canceled due to Hurricane Sandy. Tahimik embraces it all as expressions or impressions of cosmic forces that act on him and his practice. They are the conditions his work emerges from. Simply rejecting them is not an option. They have to be let in and worked through. The only good film, Tahimik once said, is a malleable film. Tahimik's poetics, which is also an ethics of filmmaking, is all about that process. Raya Martin once referred to it as a struggle against movie making, against the strictures and norms of professionalized film production, against what Tahimik himself has called filmmaking, so F-I-double-L making. At first, this was just a typo. But soon Tahimik realized he'd stumbled upon an important concept, another cosmic message. A filmmaker makes fills, not films. Expensively resourced and lavishly furnished high-resolution images that radiate a rich presence, finished and polished products ready for consumption. For Tahimik, there is violence hidden in this type of image, in the way it controls the world and captures audiences. His own poetics points in the opposite direction. The main thing is to cede control, to reject false standards of excellence. The emphasis is on process, and the journey is the destination. It's no surprise, then, that all of Tahimik's films involve extensive travel. They move across and around the world, telescoping us from the local to the planetary scale and beyond. On his circumnavigations, he discovers the damaging effects of globalization and modernization, but at the same time, he's modeling and mapping alternative forms of global relationality. Tahimik's work challenges the idea that globalization is a Western invention, and it seeks to demonstrate that there are different ways of collectively and interdependently inhabiting the planet. The jeepney driver Kitlat, who guides us through Perfumed Nightmare, is at first driven by an unshakable belief in technology and progress, because he's especially fascinated with efforts to propel humanity into space, he's also head of the local Wernher von Braun fan club. This is not the only German connection in a film that is ostensibly about the ills of Americanization. There are biographical reasons for this. Tahimik's time in Germany was a formative experience. He met Werner Herzog there and also his wife, Katrin. And it was in Germany that he sort of finally and completely broke with his former OECD economist self. But as is so often the case in Tahimik's films, chance and coincidence trigger new unforeseen meanings. Post-war Germany, in Tahimik's own words, appeared to him as just another land of technology, but the ironic reverence for the rocket scientist and the former SS Sturmbannführer Wernher von Braun also hints at the brutality of German technology at the darkest nightmares bred by instrumental reason. This is also something that came out at the Berlin premiere of his latest film, Balik Bayan, number one. After the screening, Kidlat said, the sound system in this commercial venue really does no favor to my sound mix. And then the moderator said, yes, German technology is brutal. The thing that surprises me most of the that surprises me most every time I get to rewatch Perfumed Nightmare is how it manages to tell a story that's really all about disenchantment or growing disenchantment in an utterly enchanting manner. The findings Tahimik arrives at couldn't be more alarming, yet his approach is unwaveringly playful and ironic. Every critical gesture is balanced by a gesture of construction. Every unmaking gives rise to new forms of making. There is no escaping the impact of technology, especially if you're a filmmaker. So the question becomes how to use technology differently. Perfumed Nightmare has all the answers. Thanks for listening and have a great projection.